Could you tell me, from what you've heard, what priority tax credit reform is going to get from the Democratic leadership this session?
Well, I think it's pretty important. If you look at the governor's budget, he is projecting something over $50 million in savings from reining in some of these tax credits. If we don't make the savings there, then we have to cut the budget someplace else. So the pressure is on, at least as far as that's concerned. I think it's also the case that the report that we got from the committee or commission that Dick Oshlo headed out of the governor's office had some very good recommendations in it, some of which would save money, but others would improve the oversight of these credits. And I think that that also is something that's well worth doing. So there are several different bills that are floating around. There are meetings that are going on. Actually, one of the conversations I was on the phone half an hour ago with a fellow I know from Ames who knows quite a lot about these kinds of things, and so I'm gathering feedback, and I think that one or more bills will pass this year.
What do you think? Do you have any sense of what the features of those bills might be?
Well, I'm certainly hoping that one of the key features is to end the film tax credit. This has never been, in my mind, a program that is likely to create much in the way of permanent jobs in Iowa. It's nice to have Meryl Streep or Kevin Costner come and, you know, visit Iowa, and that's all kind of fun. But a movie coming in to shoot on location for 6 weeks, it's hard to see how that creates much in the way of permanent jobs, and that's what our taxpayers deserve. If we're going to invest hard-earned tax dollars, especially in that volume, $38.6 million this year, in economic development, I think we need to show something more.
Are there other features you expect to be part of, and any key features you expect to be part of any legislation that passes this year?
Well, you know, I'm one senator out of 50, and there are 100 members of the House, so you have to take my opinion for just that. I'm very interested in the sunset provisions, basically sunsetting all of these tax credits. It's all too common that stuff gets in the code and it's just there and goes on and on for years and nobody ever questions it. If you put a sunset on it, then you make the people who benefit from it have to come back every 5 years or whatever to reprove their case. And I think that that's a very beneficial thing.
So you support the five-year sunset recommendation?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What about the
or in some form, you know, how it all will play out is yet to be determined, but yes, that was a key theme from the Oshlo committee and one that I'm very enthusiastic about.
A couple of the other legislative recommendations were eliminating the transferability provision for all tax credits. Do you support that?
In general, yes. Here are a couple of points that I made in the Ways and Means Committee meeting a week or two ago. We have some refundable tax credits. A refundable tax credit isn't really a tax credit at all. It's a grant. $100,000 refundable credit is worth $100,000 whether you owe a lot of tax or little tax or no tax at all. It doesn't really serve to reduce the tax burden on a particular activity. It's a grant. And that's not to say that it's necessarily bad. But I think that when you realize it's a grant, I think that when you have that kind of perspective on it, for most grant programs, people have to apply, people have to propose specific things to accomplish, and then there's a follow up later on to make sure that they achieved what they applied for, and I think that that's the perspective we ought to take if we're going to have a refundable credit. Now, a transferable credit. A transferable credit is a refundable credit that's refundable to somebody else.
Right.
So I think that that's clearly inferior. I think you clearly could make an improvement by taking every transferable credit and at minimum making it a refundable credit. Refundable credit, all the money goes to the people you're trying to create an incentive for. with a transferable credit, the company that receives the initial credit, if they don't have a tax liability to fully offset, the only way they can get the full value of the transferable credit is selling it to somebody else. Well, whoever they sell it to isn't going to pay 100 cents on the dollar. They're going to have to get some benefit from it. So a portion of the value of the credit goes to the buyer. And quite often, I'm sure that there's an intermediary, a broker, and they're going to take, I don't know, 5%, 10%. So you wind up with the effect of a refundable credit. Only a goodly share of the benefit goes to people who have nothing to do with the activity you're trying to promote. At minimum, I would end every transferable credit, and at minimum, change it to a refundable credit.
The transferability is also an issue of accountability in the sense that they're difficult to track once they leave the hands of the person who received it initially, right? Difficult to claw back
It would be very difficult to claw back. That's right. Another disadvantage of transferability.
So
you potentially could claw back a refundable credit, although, you know, if the company hasn't got any profits, I'm not sure how you exactly claw it back, but at least tracking the performance would be easier.
A lot of people have talked about the transferability of
historical... I'm sorry. It's not tracking of the performance that would be easier. Tracking of the performance would be about the same. It's implementing a clawback.
Right.
That's the right way to say it.
Some people have talked about the transferability and eliminating transferability except in the case of the historic tax credit. They seem to think that would... I've heard it from several people who seem to... Was that something you'd like to see made refundable so it benefits the people who receive it more and they can actually...
You know. It's just a simple bookkeeping statement. For the same dollar of state resources committed, you get more of those dollars going to the people that you want to reward or to create incentive for if you make it refundable as if you make it transferable.
Right.
There's some issue about issuing a refundable credit to like a nonprofit organization that may not file a tax return anyway. But like I say, a refundable credit is functionally equivalent to a grant. Mm-hmm. So in those cases, might as well just call it a grant.
Right.
A nonprofit can certainly collect a grant.
A third legislative recommendation was capping all currently uncapped tax credits. Is that something you support?
I generally feel good about that. The problem with the film tax credit was we were told it was going to cost us $750,000 a year, and it turns out that even after we put the brakes on it this year, halfway through, $38.6 million. In other words, the film tax credit ballooned to cost us 50 times what the original estimate was.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we need to put a cap on these things. Some of them, you can never exactly predict how much response you're going to get from any kind of incentive program. Sometimes you'll get less than what you hope for. Sometimes you get more. Well, if you get more response, then it's open season on the Treasury unless you have some sort of cap in place that limits your downside risk.
Right. The recommendation included ending 8 tax credits. I know some of those were kind of dormant or not really relevant anymore, but are there any
beyond the film tax credit? I'd have to look in more detail at the ones recommended.
Uh-huh.
If it's dormant, why is it on the books?
Right. So the film tax credit, if you eliminated that, how much money would that save?
Well, like I say, this year, $38.6 million. How much it would save, it depends on how much you project it would cost next year if it were continued.
Right. But so let's say we could likely assume that it would continue at a similar pace. You could get most of your 50-odd million by just eliminating that, right?
Well, if you use 39 million for that, and there's also a discussion about the supplemental research activities credit. I think the support for that is weaker There's more support for the regular part of the research activities credit, although, you know, we need some discussion there too. But the, anyway, the supplemental, I think, is another $13 million from what one friend of mine tells me. You add the two of those together, you get the $51 million.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty, that politically is pretty easy to do, I mean, compared to...
Well, you know, there's some folks who are speaking up to try to save the film tax credit, but I don't know how much traction they'll get. This, you know, just from a political point of view, I think that I voted against the film tax credit, but there were only two of us in the Senate, and I think only one in the House. Every other incumbent who has to stand for re-election is going to have to defend that vote, and that's not a very comfortable position to be in. Frankly, I think that as much as there's a voter backlash against the bonuses to the Wall Street bankers after taxpayers bailed them out, I think that there would be a similar type of reaction against the film tax credit, where we're giving them all this money and they turn around, they use taxpayer dollars for luxury SUVs and iPods for their kids and so forth. If I were one of the many legislators who had voted for the program in the first place, frankly, I think I would want to have it on my record that at least after the thing blew up, I had the good sense to end it.
Right. The final of the legislative recommendations was eliminating the refundability provision for the research activities tax credit. Do you support that?
I'm in discussion on that. You will note from the Oshlo report that was only recommended to be attenuated for companies over $20 million gross a year. We have a lot of smaller companies, really just startup companies, here in the ISU Research Park. And a couple of weeks ago, I spent an afternoon. I visited four of them, and they're really doing some exciting things with taking the university research and turning it into interesting new products and that I think have viable markets. And some of those businesses have benefited from the refundability of the research activities credit. So I think it's important to keep the focus on the small startups that don't have other good sources of funding and startup capital. The refundability is probably more valuable for them, or more important for them. For the larger businesses, I can tell you what I'd like to do, although I'm not sure exactly how to accomplish it. Research, the results of research are an intermediate product, okay? People don't buy research in general. What people buy are the new products that the research creates, or the new processes that improve existing products. I would like to see a way to nail down the benefits of research and keep them here in this state. So if you could find a way to structure the research activities credit and make, let's say, a portion of that credit only available when a company has taken its research and turned it into investment in plant and equipment, or turned it into investment in worker training to produce a new product. That's how I think we could get bigger return for our investment there. If you take a portion, perhaps a refundable portion, and tie it into investment in plant and equipment and job training, it's fine to have engineers and scientists employed, and those jobs pay really well, and those folks add a lot to their communities in a lot of ways. Most of those folks have educational levels that are well above that of the average Iowan. And I think if we can structure this credit so that people who don't have as much education or who don't have as much in the way of job skills can also benefit, then everybody wins. And if we can do that, I'm more friendly to keeping more of that research activities credit.
Mm-hmm. you're an economist by profession. What is the, and obviously economics is a large field, so you can say this isn't my area of expertise, but generally speaking, are tax credits a good economic development tool, and are they good public policy?
Well, I like a good economist, I'll give you an on the one hand, on the other hand answer. My basic training and understanding and research into the market system leads me generally to say it would be in an ideal world the government would just keep its hands off and let the market do what it will. That's not the guarantee. Not that that will always guarantee perfect results. But I have some sympathy with my rather more conservative colleagues who say the government shouldn't be choosing winners and losers.
Uh-huh.
That being said, I've been involved in public service for 14 years now, 7 years on the city council in Ames. And from that I know that the ideal world isn't the way the real world works. A state that took the pristine position of saying we're not going to get involved in tax credits or grants or whatever, every other state would stand up and applaud and then turn around and eat your lunch. Companies looking to locate, companies looking to expand, these days go looking for economic development incentives or rewards. And if you're not willing to play that game, at least to some extent, then you're probably going to lose out. I think to a certain extent, some degree of incentives are table stakes. Now, so I think that the real question in the practical world is how much are you going to devote to incentives of one type or another? And how do you structure those incentives intelligently so that you get the most return? I also think that you need to do some thinking about what are your native assets, your natural, you know, your comparative advantages for a particular state, let's say. And you know, we had this Battelle Memorial Institute study done, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago, that identified three basic areas where they thought Iowa had a natural advantage: advanced manufacturing, information technology, and biosciences. With all due respect to Meryl Streep, and I saw one of her movies last night and had a great time, I don't know that she knows any of those areas. The film industry doesn't have much connection to that. It's not an area where we would have a natural strength. So the dollars that go into the film tax credit are dollars that don't go into other forms of economic development, or they don't go into better education to produce a more productive workforce. They don't go into a lot of other areas. So, I think we need to be smarter, and I think that if there's a silver lining from this home film tax credit scandal, it's that I think that we're going to be paying more attention and asking tougher questions, and that will certainly be to our long-term good.